Okay, and welcome back. Hour number three. We're going to do something a little bit different this hour. Well, we always do when we do three wonderful guests tonight. They're all different. They all have unique contributions to make to our knowledge base. And this gentleman, without question, is one of the most extraordinary people we've ever had on the program. He is Clark C. McClellan, whose ancestry goes way back. He's an original American, and we can talk about that with him a little bit. But beyond that, he was an aerospace engineer, space shuttle fleet, NASA, a scientist, a great American patriot who has paid a terrible price for bringing forth the truth about what he saw while he was working in the Apollo program. And what he saw was conclusive proof of ET visitation and ET interaction with American shuttle crews. You weren't supposed to talk about that. What happened to Clark McClellan? Well, he lost his retirement, his pension, his health care, and everything. They took care of him in the way they do many people who talk too much or out of step. You can call Clark a whistleblower, but I would call him just a super American human being and patriot. And he's back with us tonight. I want to warn you that Clark is in often extreme pain from MRSA infections, which we are working on. And I hope that they are going to turn around very soon, because he is using a very heavy dose now of Allicin C, which has been proven in every case in the lab before they release it in capsule form to knock out MRSA. So we're doing that internally, and he's using the external Alloderm as well. And hopefully things are getting better. How are you, Clark?
I'm here, Jeff. I'm just tired, and I'm in a lot of pain, as usual.
Yes, I understand. Are the wounds beginning to show some sign of slowing down at all? Are we getting any kind of... We just got your dose up recently to the proper dose.
No, I haven't been taking it at that dose for a while. And the extension of the wounds have actually grown.
All right.
I'm not saying it was the Allicin C, but...
Well, what it is, it's a poor circulation.
That's what I have. What they want to do now, a doctor just spoke with me. He wants to go in my right side with some type of probe. It goes across and then down my left leg from the right to the left. It goes down into the veins that he said they would open. They would open these veins. And if that occurs, it would be helpful to my circulation, because then he's saying that he believes the blood will flow. He told me, though, that if they can do this, he does believe that my foot ailments down there isn't nowhere near what they've seen and they've cured in the past. So I have to determine whether I want him to do that or not.
We always have to remember also that blood flow brings the Allicin C to the area of the bacterial infection as well.
That's right.
Anything you can... Now, I would urge you again, now I don't mind saying this on the air, to talk to Dr. Dean Bonley at the magneticosleep.com site. He sells the high-powered magnetic sleep pads, and Dr. Bonley wants to help you with one. So will you please, Clark, I'm going to put you on the spot here, you've got to follow through on this, because magnets will...
What's his name?
Oh, you've talked to him already on the phone. I'll get to you after the program.
Okay, that would be good, because I want to tell you about this new doctor that wants to do this to me, okay?
Yeah, all right. Well, let's go ahead.
What? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Anyway, the doctor wants to put that probe in on my right side. I don't know what the medical terms are of it, but it goes down my left leg. It goes into various vessels down there that are blocked. And he states that they will then open, and that when they open, the wound pain, which is horrible, a doctor slipped and told me that it's four times the pain that a woman feels in one childbirth.
I know you've been suffering horribly, and it bothers me a great deal. We're going to talk about magnets, because magnets triple the blood flow whether you want them to or not.
Yeah.
And that's crucial. If you folks want to learn about magnets, simply do a search for equine, as in horse, equine magnet therapy, and you'll find a mega-million-dollar business. They use magnets on horses all the time to increase blood flow, heal injuries, and so forth. but they don't talk about that with human beings. So it's
what
a big business.
Equine what?
Equine, E-Q-U-I-N-E, equine.
E-Q-U-I-N-E,
equine.
Okay, equine.
No, equine.
Yeah.
Magnet therapy.
Equine mag therapy. Okay, I wrote that down.
Look that down. All right, now, Clark, The Stargate Chronicles, your book, you continue to somehow turn out new chapters. How many chapters are available now?
Well, I have the 17th that I sent to my fiance, but she's not responding to me any longer.
All right. Well, you might want to send it to me, and I'll guard it.
Yeah, it's to the audience, please. It's Stargate, S-T-A-R-G-A-T-E, hyphen. That's the line between the last letter of E and hyphen, the hyphen, and then Chronicles,
yeah.
chronicles.com.
Yep. Your name is linked to it in guests. You can click right on your name and go there.
Yeah.
What I want to talk to you, Clark, in this hour has to do with the German scientists that you got to know, all of the great geniuses who came over here after the war.
That's right.
And they were, of course, they were the people who took us into space. And they were not evil Nazis. They were scientists.
That's right. They all wanted to go into space and to the moon and elsewhere. And, of course, Hitler and his secret agents all kept them under lock and key. And they had the threat of their being killed and their families if they did not row the boat.
And develop military weapons, rocket weapons.
That's right, exactly. Right. Yes. Uh-huh. So they had to do that. Dr. Werner von Braun, my good friend, I had him as a person that disclosed to me many top secret things that the Germans were working on, and he disclosed them, and then he was allowed by NASA to die. So, anyway,
okay, now he died of cancer.
Yeah, he died. He smoked a lot, so I believe that the smoking helped
mm-hmm.
cause that, of course. And I asked him to stop, and he did stop. But every now and then I could see that he picked up a cigarette, lit it up outside the hotels we were at mm-hmm. for the man's flight awareness meetings.
Yes.
And he did stop for a while, and then I guess he restarted. I'm not sure. When he left NASA, I was not in touch with him hardly at all. But he told me things that the world doesn't know. And the evil in this United States government right now, and not just with Obama, but with Clinton and the double Bushes, and they already passed into all the way down the line. They've all been controlled by a DSSG, a dictatorial secret shadow government. And when I observed the 8 to 9 foot tall giant inside the space shuttle in 1991. I could observe, but not hear, I could observe the arm motions to run right side where there was one of our NASA astronauts tethered to the side. And then on the left side, another U.S. NASA astronaut was tethered to that side. And this large creature, humanoid, two arms, two legs, a torso, a head without any helmet on it, actually was giving them orders. He'd be pointing things out, and he would sweep his hand aside if he wanted something that they may have said that he disagreed with, he, she, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But then that there evil creature, I guess it's an evil creature.
Hard to know.
I watched it for a minute and 3 seconds, and believe me, Jeff, I'm an artist and an observer. In a minute and 3 seconds or 7 seconds, I forgot what it is now. I observed everything he did, and I had an excellent artist of mine that has now been stopped from doing me any artistic renderings again. He did the picture that you see when you open my Stargate-Chronicles.com, standing or floating in the Space Shuttle Payload Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like photographs, but believe me, audience, they are not. I wish they were. And 6 to 7 weeks after I observed this 8 to 9 foot tall alien, another aerospace engineer, 5 stories down under the ground in New Mexico, in a secret facility there that was tracking not only his shuttle, but all kinds of other craft. He contacted me and he said, Clark, I observed the same 8 to 9 foot tall creature inside the crew compartment of his shuttle launch. And there were 2 separate shuttle launches, mine and his. So that's why, that's another point of view of why NASA and the evil in this U.S. government destroyed my retirement that I earned for 34 years in the program. 682 missions that I observed being launched or I was part of. I hold the record of that for one individual. Very, very large.
Wow.
Now, my shuttle giant, I saw a large ship pass the tail end of the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm. What happened? We have to take a break, Clark. Stand by. We'll come right back. I want to ask you, what happened to the feed of the picture when you were watching the 8 to 9 foot tall alien in a spacesuit in the open cargo bay talking to the 2 astronauts somehow?
Yeah.
What happened to that feed? And we'll find out from you in just a minute. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Be right back with Clark McClelland after this. Okay, back with Clark McClelland and talking about his actual observation on the live feed from a camera above the open bay of the space shuttle. Which mission was this, Clark, that you saw the large alien in there?
Jeff, I will not.
You're
say
still
that.
Not disclosing that. Okay, understood.
The reason is the families of those astronauts would be
penalized.
Would be destroyed by mm-hmm. the, you know what, controlled media.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
All right, understood. Okay.
The feed you're talking about?
Yeah. What happened to the feed? Was it just shut off? Somebody said, get that off of there?
I was watching it in the payload bay. 2 astronauts floating with a 8 to 9 foot tall alien with the alien ship behind the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that for 1 minute and 3 seconds, and then the feed drifted away from the camera view I was having, and when it came back later,
mm-hmm.
the alien and the 2 astronauts were not there any longer. There's a possibility, because I've worked on the crew entry hatch into the crew compartment.
Yes.
I believe that perhaps, I can't say for sure, that the tall ET, 8 to 9 feet tall, went inside the crew compartment with our 2 astronauts that were there. I have the names of the astronauts and everything, but if I release them, they would be destroyed.
We don't want to do that. I understand.
No, I will not do that.
Good. Okay. Now, let me go back to some of the Germans. You've got a special chapter on, and we talked about this in the first hour. There's a fellow named Harry Cooper who is going to contact you. He was my guest this first hour. He's a friend. He runs an organization called Shark Hunters, which is a membership organization for World War II German, American, and British soldiers and submariners primarily, but all branches of the service are represented. He was the man who found out that Hitler and Eva Braun were taken out of the bunker, drugged by Martin Bormann, and did in fact end up in Argentina. Hitler lived there for about another 20 years and died. He's been to the house. He's really broken the whole story open. He did this 20 years ago.
What is his name again, Shark Hunters?
All right, it's Harry.
Harry, hold on, please. I'm going to write this down. I'll tell you why. I've had 23 days of telephone problems here,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to... Harry what?
Cooper.
Hold on, please. I'm trying. Cooper. Okay, I've got it.
All right. He's the best, so give him your all.
Okay.
He will not let you down. He knows all about Germany, German scientists.
Yeah.
He'd love to talk to you. Now, your chapter 15 has to do with the De Glock anti-gravity craft.
That's right.
And there's a picture here. I assume that's a representation of the De Glock, or is
yes,
that an actual
is.
Photo? Okay,
it's
a representation.
It's a representation of it. I could not get an actual photo of it
mm-hmm.
because everywhere I went, I was blocked, right? Patterson and and New Mexico and also the NASA offices in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried, but I didn't. I could say what I saw of the De Glock when I was at Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, when that craft came down there in 1965, I believe. And I photographed it there. I wrote a total report of what I was observing. And they had a guard following me with an armed rifle all the time. And I got around to the one side of the De Glock. And I was able to photograph certain pictures of it and the writing that was on it. And then he showed up again and told me, stop photographing. Well, what am I going to do with a rifled person that doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground of what I'm trying to prove?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's following orders like it's always happened. Anyway, I had those. I tried to look at them when I got back to the Space Center. And they blocked me from viewing anything I photographed there. And the other person that was with me, Kecksburg, was a very high NASA official at the Kennedy Space Center. He took photographs too. And later he told me he wasn't able to observe what he photographed either when he got back with
uh-huh,
me.
Uh-huh.
So NASA and the evil shadow government, which is now called the New World Order.
Yeah.
It blocked him and me from seeing the photographs we took.
How were you notified, and who flew you to the Kecksburg crash? You must have gotten there very quickly and gotten almost immediate notice to get on a plane and go. Who ordered that?
The base director, Dr. Kurt Debus, and he said the only person he knew of at the Kennedy Space Center that was worthwhile to send there was Clark D. McClellan, SCO for the space shuttle, spacecraft
yes.
operator. Okay?
Yes, yes.
So Dr. Debus was my friend, too. He was a German scientist that came over with Dr. von Braun. I observed in Dr. Debus's office General Hans Kambler. Hans Kambler, it was reported, had been murdered or killed right after the Second World War. Three or four times there were murder reports, different sites, everything else. These were hidden sites. They were observed by the people like myself and others, but Kambler did not die after the Second World War.
Okay, this is very important for Harry Cooper to hear and know.
He came to the Space Center, Kambler, and then he was involved with General, what's his name in World War II, General, our greatest general.
Patton.
He was involved with George Patton in getting himself out of Europe, across the Atlantic in a ship with the actual De Glock, okay? When he arrived here at a port, I'm not sure what port, probably it may have been the port of the Navy in Florida, meaning, what's that up in the north? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting.
Okay.
Anyway, he may have arrived at that port. He may not have. He may have arrived at New York City. Who knows where? The object secretly was put on a truck, slipped into it, and then it was kept under secret security guards while it traveled with Kennemeyer, Kambler, I mean, to Wright-Patterson Air
Force. Okay, excuse me. Kambler... Hans Kambler was flown to the De Glock crash site, as were you.
No way.
Okay.
Kambler was shipped over with the De Glock on a ship. It docked at one of our ports.
I see. Okay.
I can't say what port that was. And then
he
accompanied it in a truck, where it was actually able to be placed inside that large truck and not seen by the public.
Yes.
And they drove that truck to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where Kammler remained there with the other German scientists that were already there.
Yes.
And they had to de-gawk in order to be able to back engineer it and analyze what they found, because the Grok was actually a Russian craft that was supposed to go to the Venus, the planet Venus. Okay?
Okay, now let me ask you. You saw Kammler where?
In Dr. Debus's office, in his very plush, wonderful office of the director of the Kennedy Space Center, who was Dr. Kurt Debus. Now, Kammler was there when I came in to get a autographed picture from Dr. Debus. He had these two guests, meaning Kammler, and he had also Kennemeyer. General Kennemeyer was also a very important German scientist and pilot. And there was both Kammler and Kennemeyer in Debus' office. They both shook my hands. They stood up behind the desk they were sitting at. Well, it wasn't a desk, actually. They were sitting in chairs right to the side of Dr. Debus at his desk. And I walked in, and Dr. Debus was very polite with me, as he always was. All the German scientists were very polite with me. They told me secrets I haven't even written into my chapters yet. And then he did introduce Kammler as Hans, almost like H-A-N-E-S. He didn't say their last name, and he introduced me to Kennemeyer, not saying General Kennemeyer. I forgot what his first name was. And they both clicked their heels to me, stood up and clicked their heels to me when I walked in there.
Wow.
And I looked back, and my grandmother was from Austria. She told me what the click meant. It was a sign of total respect. And I clicked my boots to them. They couldn't hear it because I had those engineer's boots. And Dr. Debus handed me a big brown envelope, photo envelope with cardboard in it. He said, "Before you leave, read it." So I opened it and brought it out. It was written in 24-karat gold ink, whatever that is.
Huh.
And it was written to me from Dr. Kurt Debus. I put it back in my envelope. I shook hands with the two, Kammler and Kennemeyer and Dr. Debus. And I left, walked out, and the secretary said, "Well, now you have what he had for you, which is extremely rare when he finds it in gold." She said, "The other two men keep secret because they're here on different missions from Wright-Patterson, and Kennemeyer also was from Wright-Patterson." So I left, and I asked some of the German ex-technicians and such that were working at Kennedy Space Center. I asked them if they, I did mention names to the German technicians and scientists I spoke with. One was Dr. Canotti, who was actually Adolf Canotti, K-N-O-T-E, who was the chief scientist for NASA, and Dr. Kurt Debus there. Dr. Gruner, who was another scientist, would not speak very long with me or disclose much to me, so he was quiet. So Kennemeyer and Kammler were recognized by Dr. Canotti, of the two that were in Dr. Debus' office. So that means Kammler was not killed in Europe.
He was alive.
And probably may have died by now.
Yeah, very important information, which Harry Cooper will be excited to hear. And now, spell Dr. Debus' name, please.
Dr. Kurt, K-U-R-T, Debus, D-E-B-U-S.
V-E, V as in Victor,
no,
E.
D like in dog.
D-E-B-U-S, okay.
Yes. And General Kennemeyer was Hans, but they spell it, it sounded like he spelled it like it's written in German.
Got it.
Sounds like Hans in English. Kammler, K-A-M-M-L-E-R.
Gotcha.
And General, I forgot that Kennemeyer. General K-N-E-M-E-Y-E-R. Kennemeyer.
K-E-N-N-E, Kennemeyer?
No, K.
Yeah.
Capital K.
Got it.
N like in Nancy.
Okay.
E, M like in McClellan.
Yeah.
E, Y, E, R.
Got it.
And that Dr. Kanote is Adolf K-N-O-T-E. Okay, you got all that?
Got it.
Okay, I'm in a lot of pain right now.
That's all right, Clark. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
We'll take a break. You rest. We'll come right back in a couple minutes. Okay, and here we go. Talking to Clark McClellan. Okay, Dr. Adolf Kanote, K-N-O-T-E, was he also in the room there, or was he?
Oh, no, no, no.
You met him at a different time.
He was in his own office, and I went to see him, too, after I visited Dr. Debus with Kamler and Tennemeyer.
I see.
And Kanote was one of the, he was the first person that Dr. Debus would talk with. So he invited me in his office, and he,
All right, hold on.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Hold on, Clark. Hold on.
It's okay now.
All right.
It comes and hits me.
I know.
I'm sorry, audience.
That's okay.
Please try to help me, audience, okay?
All right.
Please buy a moon gold photo off my website. When that moon gold I have that went to the moon and came back is gone, my photos with a piece of moon gold on it in a gold frame will be gone.
Okay, let me do that for you while you take it easy.
Yeah.
Clark is in extremely horrible pain, and honestly, I don't know how he even does these programs when he does. The pictures are phenomenal. A magnificent color photo of our astronaut, Jim Irwin, on the moon with the lander, and in the upper right corner is a piece of...
He's saluting our flag, old
he's
glory.
Saluting the flag when it meant something. And in the upper right of the picture is a piece of the gold foil from the lander leg.
Yes.
Which was given to Clark.
Yes.
And, you can buy one. Clark has no means of support. The government took it all away.
They destroyed everything. I try to live on $1,250 a month.
Oh, it's not possible.
And I support my son because he was fired from his job, which I don't believe was because of his work, because he's excellent. It's starting to affect my family members now.
All right.
And that's what they're doing. So I sent him money. I also helped my fiance because she has no income.
Okay.
So that chops me down. They just raised my rent $30 a month. So
all right.
They're destroying me.
Well,
by
they're trying. But you're going to do a lot more writing and get this book finished. You have many more chapters to do.
I've got about 34, 36 other chapters.
Okay.
I'm not sure how long I will last.
Alright, well, I want you to give it your best for all of us because you are the keeper of knowledge that no one else has and no
That's
one
right.
else will share.
That's exactly what I am.
Okay. Let's have some more talk, if we can, about the German scientists. Von Braun, of course, General Kennemeyer, Hans Kammler. If you read the Wikipedia entry on Kammler, it says he died. Or he might have gone to Argentina, but he was killed in Operation High Jump down there. So they
well,
didn't.
That I can't answer. But
well, he wasn't. He was here.
No, he was here because he couldn't have been killed in High Jump.
Of course not.
We were defeated in Operation High Jump in the Antarctic. Now, right after that, Washington had an overflight of many ships that were speeding beyond belief. They sent fighters up from Washington to intercept these objects, and they could not do so because as soon as one would get close enough to launch maybe a missile, our aircraft, the craft he was aiming at flipped out of view and was way off in the distance where the missile couldn't reach. What these were the craft that were created by the Germans under the Antarctic ice cap, which is also a continent. The Germans built a laboratory and a place for Hitler and his wife to escape to and other important scientists, whatever. And actually Hitler was also there with them. I'm not sure if he did die in Argentina.
Yes, he did. He died in Cordoba.
Well, Cordoba, maybe.
That's the word. You need to read Harry's book. Harry Cooper has it all. He got it from someone who was in the bunker in 45 and lived to tell the story.
Well, I hope Harry Cooper is not going to be writing a new book of whatever I discussed with him because it's all copyrighted.
He is absolutely the most honorable man you're going to meet.
Well, Jeff, I've known the most honorable people in my life, and I'm very, very wary.
You should be.
Of anybody.
He has had his book stolen, so he is.
Okay, we'll talk. I'll talk to Cooper.
Okay, good. Now, name some more names of some of the German scientists that you knew or worked with or knew about.
Well, at the Space Center, there are a lot of them, but I don't have their names in front of me where I can recall. I'm sorry. But only Dr. Kurt Phoebus, Dr. Canotti, and Dr. Gruna, G-U-N-E, I think he spelled it, and Dr. Werner von Braun. And I met the Jewish scientist that helped create the atomic bomb, Oppenheimer, when he came to visit the Space Center while he was dying and by cancer, I believe.
Huh.
I met him there. We weren't there together very long because they rushed him away because they knew who I was already. See, I kept a lot of what I had secret, but I did disclose it to the Phoebuses, the Canotis, and some of the others there, Werner von Braun. Von Braun agreed with me when I said, Doctor, sir, the Earth appears to be the birthplace of many star races that established colonies here. He said, yes, you're correct. It's a nursery of star cultures. That's what he said, a nursery of current. And if you look at our racial differences, he's correct. We've got so many differences. The Asians can't be proving that they were created by the Holy Bible the Christians read. Because they are Asians. They have been brought here with their own religions. And then there's others like maybe Portugal, who has had separate types of beliefs and religions. So the Earth is a colony to establish star races. That's why we have so many different cultures, religions, clothing, food. Now the USA has been pretty well destroyed, where it was actually proving this was true, and now it's becoming back that because we've had 30 plus million illegal invaders come over the southern border.
Oh, 35 million, maybe more.
Yeah.
California is going to give all illegals driver's licenses.
That's right.
It's over.
It's over. We've been defeated without a war here because we were fighting wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other countries.
That's right.
And we don't have a military anymore that could stand up to the excellent armies of the Chinese.
Oh, no, I agree. By the way, you mentioned Portugal. The Basques are very unusual people.
The Basques are very unusual. I'll tell you why, because they have the same blood I have. I have a very rare A-, and I think it's A-, blood type, but mine has a touch of iridium in it. A very small amount, meaning almost invisible. NASA discovered that. They called me up to the office to talk to the doctors there, and they said, do you know you have this? I said, actually, sir, I didn't know that. They did that to me shortly after that. My job was over at the Kennedy Space Center. I was fired by saying I left an address off my original application. I brought in a copy of my original application to these people determining to fire me. It showed that I added a note to the application where I had a missing address and that I had placed the missing address on my original application, and they had the old one where I didn't have it on. They were totally perplexed. They were angry to the fact that they didn't discover that I did that. So they said, we're going to release you anyway, Clark. We're sorry. I said, no, you're not sorry. The boss I had at the site I had an office at, where I checked out the shuttles when they were brought back by order from orbit. Even he was sitting there. He went, oh my God. And then they released me. They fired me after 34 years. My wife divorced me. We lost our home. I had no health benefits or income to support my children of that time. And then I went off to find a job. I couldn't find anything but a 4.25-an-hour job at Walt Disney World in security there. That's all I was paid. So with the divorce and all, the loss of the home and all, I couldn't stop it. They were destroying my entire life and family. That's what the evil in this government is now. I try to live on $1,250 a month. I can't do that anymore, Jeff. I'm running out of time. I'm sick. This leg wound I have 16 to 18 different wounds on my toes, my ankles, up my right side of my foot, my left foot, my foot leg, meaning one of the wounds is an open wound that is 7 inches long, 8 inches long, and about 4 inches wide. I look at it. It makes me want to throw up. That's an open wound that the pain never stops in. Plus, I have about 15 other wounds scattered everywhere. When they all kick in, Jeff, if I'm in my car, I have to pull to the side of Ronan's road and scream because of the pain. When I'm working at the computer at the library, it hits me. I have to quickly get up with my cane and run into the men's room and then scream a bit in there. Then they run up and ask me if I'm all right, and I say yes. So this is horrible. This is what they do to an honest, patriotic American citizen. And I was birthrighted here in 1620. I think that's when the Mayflower landed. I think I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
The first mate on the Mayflower was Clark, was his last name was Clark. That's who I made after. John Clark, he was the first mate of the Mayflower.
Huh.
So that's it about that. My history is long and beyond belief here, and the people that have gotten me problems probably haven't been here for more than 50, 60, 75 years. So they're evil. The Zionists are evil on earth. Okay, Jeff.
All right, well, we all agree. We understand that. They are evil incarnate. And,
that's right.
What I want to get, we have about 6 minutes left. So to remind people, you can purchase chapters of the Stargate Chronicles.
That's right.
Each one is fascinating.
And it's the truth.
You're telling the truth. And you're actually, I don't know if you have enough time to write all the chapters you'd like to. You'd still hold material back to protect the families of the surviving astronauts.
I've got a very, very important chapter of the crew that saw the giant in their payload bay, and I will not release that and have their lives destroyed. So right there again, I'm protecting people that I admire and respect because I was part of what they were. The astronaut corps at the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral and Kennedy Cape Kennedy mm-hmm. and all that other name stuff.
Right.
That's it.
Okay. In our remaining minutes, I think it's important to remind people that the Apollo program came to an end. And the entire program, built and constructed with the leadership and the brilliance of the German scientists who were brought over here as spoils of war, but who wanted more than anything to make their dreams come true and go into space. The program was dismantled. The Saturn V booster, this enormous booster that was used to put the spacecraft up and on their way, the Saturn V launch towers were taken down. The rockets themselves were destroyed. The blueprints were apparently locked away under top secret somewhere. The subcontractors were all let go. In other words, they literally buried this program 6 feet under.
They buried it, but they did save one Saturn V entire vehicle. It's in the Kennedy Space Center Museum area.
Uh-huh.
And also other wonderful things from the space shuttle. Now, the space shuttle program was, according to people I talk with, destroyed by Obama. Well, let's make sure we understand something. Obama is totally controlled by the New World Order and World Bank that is owning all the money on Earth. When you own all the money on Earth, you own every person that works on it or lives in it, children, mother, fathers, whoever.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And this New World Order has now targeted me. They're banking out my emails when I send them out. I'm trying to find radio stations that would want to have the most wonderful interview with a person like me they could ever have. Every interview I've had on the radio has broken listener records in Europe, USA, and elsewhere. If any of you listening know radio stations want to contact me, please have them contact me on clark0003@hotmail.com and ask me if they want me to come on with them. I will do so. I will promise them a totally broken record of their listeners prior to me.
Mm-hmm.
They will overwhelm listeners with what I have to say.
Well,
thank you if you would do that, people listening, yeah. And everybody else that listens to me.
You've done that here many times, of course, and
yes.
what I'd hope is that people will grab a piece of that gold foil that went to the moon. That is what a neat Christmas gift for someone.
That would be it. I sent you one, Jeff.
Yeah, so you did, and you sent me the large version, and I sent you the large version
with the frame I had since I had the gold given to me by James Irwin. So you have two valuable things there, Jeff.
Well,
and I'm hurting bad. So what else do you have? The question, please.
Okay, just hang on. Is there anything that we can do beside purchase the chapters of your book now? Do you plan on bringing the book out in its totality at some point when you get it to a certain stage that you feel you want to issue it as a full book?
Well, how many chapters are normally in a book like I'm writing?
As many as you want. You've got 16 now, 17 coming.
Yeah.
And I would say if you can get up to 30 chapters, you've got a magnificent book.
Okay, I'll have to keep that in mind. That's
now, I know it's a lot, but you've got to get this out and commit it to writing. It's got to be preserved.
I know that, but
I
have no computer. I'm looking at a black screen here. My phone's been down, up and down, so they're attacking me that way. I have a new computer here, but I don't know how to run it. It's a Mac, MacBook or something like that.
Okay, an iBook.
It's an iBook, and it was sent to me free of charge by one of your listeners.
That's wonderful. You need to get someone out there to help you set it up.
Well, the problem is everybody I asked went paid. My mobile home is falling apart right now.
Okay, all right, Clark, listen to me. There is a Mac dealer somewhere near you in the nearest town. There's a Mac dealer. They sell Macs.
Okay.
I want you to call them and find out how you can get a tech to come to your house to set up your computer, and I'll take care of the bill on that. I want you to get up and running.
Yeah.
So if you'll just make the call, get somebody to come out, give me a price, we'll cover it. The program will do that. I want you to have a computer. You need the computer to continue your work.
Okay.
All right. Keep that in mind. Go get some rest now. Thank you, Clark.
Well, thank you, and thank you all that's listening, and please buy the moon gold, please. That's
okay.
The only thing I have I can send to you other than my chapters, okay?
Okay.
It's not expensive.
All right.
And there's no more moon gold after mine is gone.
I understand.
Thank you, Jeff, the great patriot of the United States. And I thank all the listeners who I believe are probably all patriots, too.
Our
nation cannot be saved right now. But then let's hope that maybe in the future it can be renewed again.
We'll hope so.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
I hope my... I hope my fiance listened to this because she's not been in touch with me for 4, 5, 6 days now.
Okay.
And I hope she's listening.
Make sure you get me the celestial piece, please, in an email when you can.
Okay, I've got to do that. I need to put that on website so that all the listeners can read what I have.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Okay, Clark. Good night.
Good night.
All right, very difficult for him to appear on radio because of the pain. It's up to 16 lesions now in his foot and his toes, and this is not good. Okay, that's our program tonight. It is Friday. That means tomorrow, weekend, and I hope all of you have a wonderful weekend. Rants Radio, of course, will be on at this location around the clock right on through. Our encore presentation will appear Sunday night, as it always does, and we'll be back live on Monday. Take care. And have fun.